Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. B. Richard Ferguson.
Is it possible to believe in predestination and the sovereignty of God and also believe that prayer changes things? If God already knows what He's going to do, does prayer change His mind? Or do we only pray to align ourselves with what He's already decided to do so that our prayers don't really have an effect on outcomes? What exactly does prayer accomplish? In this closing section of the book of James, he's teaching us how to restore a broken church culture. That's what this section is about. And most of what he has to say about that is all about prayer. I mean, the longest section for that is about prayer. Prayer for physical and spiritual restoration. It starts with praying for yourself, verse 13. Then you need to be prayed for, verses 14 and 15. Then you pray for one another, verse 16. We serve a God who likes to give His blessings in response to intercession by other people. So we're all praying for each other. So pray for yourself, pray for others, ask others to pray for you. Pray. And that's exactly the emphasis we see throughout the New Testament. Such an emphasis on prayer. Pray at all times. Be devoted to prayer. Pray without ceasing. Always keep on praying for all the saints. So much emphasis on prayer. You see that everywhere in the Bible. If that's the case, then why don't we pray more than we do? Why do we struggle so much in this area? Why is this the one area we're always shot down in our spiritual life? I think the biggest reason is this. I think it's because we don't think it works. We don't think, if you really thought that it worked, I mean, if I really thought that it worked, I would do it more, right? We just don't really believe it does much of anything. James anticipates that problem, and so he helps us out in verse 16. At the end of verse 16, it says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. He wants to make that statement so that we'll be motivated to pray. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago when we first got to verse 16. This made a point about prayer works. It's powerful. But we need to talk about it some more because James talks about it some more. He's not done. This is the rest of the whole passage. This is his topic. He makes a statement about the power and effectiveness of prayer at the end of verse 16. And then the next two verses about Elijah, it's all designed to support that statement. That's what it is. God, and God does this in Scripture. He'll help us out. God will tell us something in the Bible, and then instead of just expecting you to just get it and then moves on to something, He says some more things, gives examples, shows it to you in living color, gives something that will inspire you. He helps us obey the commands that He gives us. And that's what verses 17 and 18 are. They're assistance to help us believe what He just said in verse 16. Verses 17 and 18 about Elijah help us see in real life what this principle of verse 16 is. Prayer is powerful and effective. How many of you have ever been tempted to think this way? I will pray simply because God commands me to pray, but honestly, I have a hard time understanding how it could have any effect on actual outcomes because God is going to do what He has sovereignly decided to do, and He's already decided that before the beginning of time. So how can my prayers do anything? I can't change God's eternal purposes, nor would I want to, even if I could. So sure, I'll pray just because He commands it, but. Even though for some strange reason God wants me to go through this charade of praying, I can't fathom how it could actually have any impact on actual outcomes in real life. Multiple different people have said that to me just recently. Some of you probably think, why is he talking about me in the sermon? It's several of you have said this to me, so I'm not talking about any individual here. Lots of people, this is a very, very common way of thinking. In fact, it always has been. People all the way back to James' times it was, and James had to address it. We struggle with this, and that's why James takes the time to give us a compelling, living example of this truth, that prayer does impact what happens. The idea of prayer changing an outcome is not in conflict at all with the doctrine of the sovereignty of God, God's eternal sovereign plan being established before the foundation of time, before the foundation of the earth, just as the decisions you make through the day have an impact on what happens, and yet that's not a conflict with eternal sovereignty. Somehow we don't fully understand how that could fit together, but we got to believe it because the Bible says it. James says it. Your prayers have an impact on what happens. And if you don't believe that, you don't believe James 5:16. We don't pray just because God commands it. We also pray because prayer is powerful and effective. Prayer does not change God's eternal purposes, but Scripture is clear that God's eternal purposes will be achieved one way if we pray and a different way if we don't pray. So while prayer doesn't change the purposes of God, it does change the actions of God. And beyond that, there are some things that God is willing to do, He wants to do, but He's decided He's only going to do it through prayer. It's the only way He's been willing to do it. He wants to do it, but He's going to hold off until someone prays for it. Martin Luther said, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of His willingness. See, God's already willing, but he wants to do it through prayer. You can think of the work of God like just this giant locomotive, big, powerful locomotive. And God has ordained that prayer will lay the tracks for that train. And where the tracks are not laid, that train won't go very often. James could have picked a lot of different examples to illustrate the power of prayer in Scripture. For example, he could have picked Joshua, right? When he prayed, he needed more time in the battle, so he just prayed, God, make the sun stop. Give me more time. And God makes the sun stop in the middle of the sky and gives him all kinds of extra time. After describing that account, the inspired writer of Scripture gives a summary of what happens, and when he gives his summary, he does not say, this is what God was going to do anyway, whether Joshua prayed or not. It's not what he says. What he says is in Joshua 10:14 that this was a day when the Lord listened to a man. The Lord listened to a man. There's no possible way that you can be honest with that text and read it to say that God would have done what he did anyway, even if Joshua didn't pray. He did it in response to the prayer. If it was going to happen anyway, and the prayer had no actual impact, then that it would be a flat-out lie to say that it was God listening to a man. And God does not lie. So James could have picked Joshua as an example, or countless other examples in Scripture, but the one he picked instead, he chose Elijah. James 5:16. Look at verse 16 again. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective, and then he's going to explain that. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Now again, there's no possible way that you can honestly read that text and come to any other conclusion than this happened because of Elijah's prayers. We have to, listen, never adjust the Scriptures to fit your theology. Never adjust the Scriptures to fit your human reasoning and logic. Just accept what it says. And what it says is the reason it did not rain for 3.5 years is because of Elijah's prayers being powerful and effective. And then the reason that drought came to an end at the end of those 3.5 years was because Elijah's prayers were powerful and effective.
Do you believe that prayer is powerful and effective? If the answer is yes, could someone tell you believe that by how much you pray? Take a minute to daydream about what your life might be like, how much better it could be if you offered, say, 3 or 4 times as many powerful, effective, outcome-changing prayers than you offer now. What amazing things might God do in your life? What amazing things would you want Him to do? Why not make a commitment to take a step in the direction of more prayer in your daily routine? I'm not talking about some unrealistic goal that will only last a couple of days, but surely all of us could take some small step in that direction that's workable on the long term and that could lead to another step down the road. Give it some thought now, before you move on to the next thing in your day and forget about it. Father, prayer is powerful and effective because you are powerful and effective. You reign over all. You're robed in majesty and armed with strength. Great are you, and mighty in power. Your understanding has no limit. You sit enthroned between the cherubim and shine forth in glory. O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. By your word, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of your mouth. You gather the waters of the seas into jars. You put the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear you. Let all the people of the world revere you. For you spoke, and it came to be. You commanded, and it stood firm. You, the Lord, speak and summon the earth from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. The Lord reigns. He's robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The mountains melt like wax before you, before the Lord of all the earth. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. I will sing to you a new song, for you have done marvelous things. Your right hand and your holy arm have worked salvation for us. Who can proclaim your mighty acts or fully declare your praise? You foil the plans of the nations, you thwart the purposes of the peoples, but your plans stand firm forever. The purposes of your heart through all generations. We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what you did in their days, in days long ago. You are my King and my God, who works victories for your people. Through you, we push back our enemies. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people. May the groans of the prisoners come before you. By the strength of your arm, preserve those condemned to die. Hear us, O Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. Summon your power, O God. Show us your strength, O God, as you have done before. Praise him who rides the ancient skies above, who thunders with mighty voice. I proclaim the power of God, whose majesty is over his people, whose power is in the skies. You are awesome, O God, in your sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people who call on him. Why would I fail to call out to such a God? Why would I refuse to take hold of your grace so freely offered, available for the asking? Teach me to pray, dear Father. Make me an outlet for your omnipotent power.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, get our free mobile app. Install the Church One app from the Play Store and select Food for Your Soul.
Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.